Welcome again to Cottage Talk Extra Time. I'm Russ Goldman, a co-host, and with me today will be Giannis Genaeus, Emilio Dinello, and Joe Tivey. This episode, we will be discussing the disappointing 2-1 loss for Fulham against Ipswich Town at Craven Cottage yesterday. We will go through our opening thoughts on the match, our thoughts on the starting 11, and the key moments. We'll also be rating all the players, the Fulham manager, Ipswich Town, and yes, the ref. Before we go any further, it looks like one of my co-hosts is on the line, so I'm going to bring him on. Emilio, how you doing? Can you hear me, Emilio?
Hi there, Russ. Can you hear me?
I can hear you fine. How are you doing, my friend?
I'm very good. So nice to speak to you again. I'm well. Thank you very much. Sun shining here in London at the moment, so we haven't got the bad weather like you've got back home.
Well, Emilio, you know, as I'm speaking to you, I cannot see outside my window. I got about another foot of snow, and it's now blowing and windy here. You know, again, technically, it's a blizzard because when the wind blows the snow, it's blizzard conditions, and that's kind of what's going on. Even though, believe it or not, the sun's out, but it's just it looks like it's tailing down here. But it's been a very interesting winter for me. you know, I look forward to speaking to Giannis. Giannis is up in Canada. He's dealing with a bit of weather himself. So, you know, it's actually really nice to do this show right now to forget about what's outside my window. So that's actually a good thing, my friend. That's actually a good thing. But what's going on with Fulham, you know, again, doesn't put a smile on my face either. But before we get going, I do want to mention, I want to give a big thank you to Sarah Brooks from Fulham Football Club, because she put a nice mention in the program yesterday for the show, which is just starting now. So I want to thank her for doing that on behalf of you know, me and all my co-hosts and everyone that listens. Just thank you, Sarah, for doing that. It was very nice of you, and hopefully, Emilio, we will get some more listeners. All right.
Absolutely.
Well, while we wait for our other two co-hosts, let's start here. I just want to get your opening thoughts on the match, what you actually witnessed at Craven Cottage yesterday.
Well, where do we start, to be honest? We actually, you know, when I looked at the formation, I actually felt there was certainly a bit more balance in that midfield and felt a little bit more positive. I thought with home advantage, with a more balanced midfield, with sort of partially defensive, partially attacking, that maybe we can hold ourselves against a solid Ipswich team. They're not spectacular, but they've been the top three or four for most of the season, and there for a reason. And but we never came out of the blocks from the word go. Within the first minute, we were lucky not to fall behind with immediate effect. You know, we got away with murder, and maybe another striker might have buried that in the back of the net. There was an opportunity, loose defending, they missed. And we thought we'd learn from that. And within a couple of minutes later, Ipswich kept pushing again, and there was a little cross from just in front of me from where I was sat, and I thought Bettinelli could have done better, maybe come to claim the ball, and there was a bit of panic defending in the box, and so I think it was Stafelidis who put it round for a corner, and straight from the corner, again straight, you know, it was a clear header, you know, it wasn't the hardest headed goal in the world, but it was on target. Bettinelli maybe could have done a little bit better, but certainly Stafelidis should have defended it on the corner on the goal line, and ball bobbled into the net, and we won down within 5 minutes. And to be honest, we deserved to be a goal down. We got away with murder in the first minute, so you know, the first 5 minutes was a disaster, and we never really picked up, to be honest. And after that very poor start, we're on the back foot, and the rest of the game is, to be honest, there wasn't really much to talk about for the rest of the remaining 85 minutes. We sort of had phases of possession. I wouldn't say domination, but we had, you know, 60% possession first half, but we never created anything. No shots on target, and that just tells you the story, to be honest. So very disappointing result. And, you know, things have got to change very, very quickly, or else we're going to get sucked into that relegation battle, which nobody expected, to be honest. So disappointing, but we've got to pick ourselves up. We've been in worse situations over the past, you know, through the grim days of the 80s and 90s. You know, we can get through this as well, in my opinion, but the players are good enough to get through this. It's whether we've got enough quality from the management team and tactics. There's a number of reasons, but it's...
Right.
You know, we didn't deserve anything from the game yesterday, don't put it that way.
Well, honestly, after I watched it this morning, Emilio, I couldn't agree with you more. We didn't deserve a point. We didn't deserve anything. And, you know, I think you just really nailed it. You know, when you said after the first 5 minutes, what did we really offer? You know, again, you still have 85 minutes to play for. Did we have our spells of possession? Absolutely. You know, when I look at the statistics and you're going to see 60%, over 60% of possession, you're going to say, wow, what went wrong here? But it's not just the possession. It's the quality of possession, the quality of opportunities, one shot on target, like you mentioned. It you know, honestly, it should be two. But, you know, again, we could talk about the Kaká opportunity. I thought that should have been listed as a shot on target. You mentioned that as well. But when I look back at it, several things come to mind. And I'm going to ask you this because I've been thinking about this a great deal, Emilio, as we still wait for our co-host. What is the difference between Ipswich Town and Fulham? What is the difference? You know, again, look at the match, look at the teams. What is the difference? Are they a much more talented team? I would say no. Do they have an informed striker and we don't? I would say yes. Do they have an experienced manager and we don't? I would say yes. Do they have an experienced team and we have a young team? I would say yes. Those are some of the differences that I see between the two teams. But talent-wise, Emilio, besides the striker right now, what is the difference between the two teams? I'm curious your thoughts on this because I've been really thinking about it. They are fourth. But, again, they didn't show me as this extremely dominant team. So what is the difference between where they are and where we are? What is causing the differences?
I think there's two reasons. There's ones that stand out. I think the first reason is there are more an established team at this level. They've been playing at this level for many years. It's been a good 12 years in the championship. The batch of players, there's an element of togetherness. They all know how they play. They play to a certain system. So, again, we've obviously got a brand-new squad of players this year, all being given opportunities in the first team. It will take time to get used to one another, to a system, to tactics, to get a rapport between one another and that chemistry between individual players. Ipswich have had that for a number of years. They've been fairly established and fairly settled, especially since Mick McCarthy came on board two or three seasons back. And that's the second point. You've got a manager who's proven at this level. His teams are hard to beat. Traditionally, they've been difficult to beat. They're not spectacular. They're always pretty to the eye, but they come and do a job. They come to, they're well organised. Goals. They don't necessarily score a million goals either, but they've got a sense of togetherness there. And he plays his teams to a certain system, and he gets the best out of average players. That's lacking at the moment. Are we getting the best of our? I'll probably say better than average players. People may disagree with me, but I think we've got a good. Not happy that the fans are booing the players on the pitch. The players.
All right, it looks like I lost you, Emilio. We are definitely having some issues with Skype and blogtalkradio.com, and hopefully Emilio can dial back in. I'm getting similar messages from my friend Giannis, and again, I was afraid that we would be having this issues. I don't know, again, I don't think this is related to what I'm dealing with storm related. I think, again, Blog Talk Radio is having some issues. So, and I've been told, again, from our last show that they had some technical issues. So I don't know if that's what's going on here, but I do apologize, again, for some of these issues we're dealing with. Hopefully my co-host will come back in. But again, I'm glad that Emilio could really talk about some of the issues that we're having. Here he is right now. Again, Emilio, are you back with us? We're definitely having some problems here. How are you doing?
Yeah, I am. Literally, I was just waffling along in the middle of a conversation. Yeah, the line just completely cut out on me, so I'm not sure what happened there.
That's okay.
No
problem. Just so you know, again, I wouldn't be surprised if Joe's having a hard time getting in because Giannis is having a hard time coming in. So, but for some reason you were able to get in, which is a good thing. I'm glad I could at least talk to you. But hopefully the other two guys will get in at some point. Now again, we were talking about the young team. Just go back to it because you were cutting out when you were talking about your point when we were talking about the differences between Ipswich Town and Fulham right now.
Yeah, so I was saying obviously Ipswich have got a more established, settled team. They've been playing together for a number of seasons, and they've got a manager who plays a certain system and tends to work quite effectively. And They're never a pretty sight to watch, admittedly, under Mick McCarthy, but he got them away from the relegation zone a couple of seasons ago, and they're knocking on the door now for promotion to the Premiership. Again, he's had to work with these players. He's had to have a couple of seasons just to get the best out of these players, and frankly speaking, they're average players. They didn't set the world alight yesterday, but we made them look better than they actually were. We gave them a lot of space. And this is what our players need to learn. Our players are young. They've only got a handful of games under their belt. We need to give them time to settle down, gain valuable experience. At the same time, is Kit Simons getting the best out of these players? That's probably where most people are questioning at the moment. Fans,
right,
on the forums, on Twitter, and then the general consensus, we've got to give the guy more time, and I would agree with that. But at what cost, potentially? Is it at the cost of relegation? Or hopefully we can avoid relegation and we can rebuild from the summer. But teams need time to gel. You know, Chelsea, Man City, they never gelled overnight. It took years for them to come together, new players, new systems, new managers, and you know, they're successful for a reason. But we've got to bide our time and be a little bit patient. But at the same time, I can understand fans' frustrations. Results are not going according to plan, and we should be doing better than we currently are. And there's various reasons for that. I don't think it's just Kit. There's various reasons, but the players there are capable, and we should be doing better.
Yeah, listen, you know, very interesting take there, Emilio, and looks like we have Giannis on the line before I bring him on. I do want to mention this because I'm going with the tack for being patient, but I understand what you're saying. You know, again, fans are frustrated, and I get that. I totally understand that, but you use two clubs, the other club in Fulham and Man City, as an example, and if you look at Man City's first season under new ownership, you know, they had all the money in the world to spend. They still struggled that first year to get the mix right. And it does take time. And even Mark Hughes, when he was there, he struggled to get the mix right. And, you know, again, with all the money in the world to spend, it does take some time to gel. And it really is, like you said, I look at the experience that Ipswich Town have compared to what Fulham have, new manager, new players. You know, again, it's striking because I don't think the talent difference is that much. Maybe an informed striker is really the difference. But beyond that, they're just an experienced squad that knows how to play together, and Fulham are still learning how to play together. It's okay, guy. Giannis, let me bring him on. Giannis, thank you for joining us, my friend.
Hello!
Hello,
how
Giannis.
Are you doing, Giannis? How cold is it up in Canada?
It is, I'll tell you what, it's as cold as... It's as cold as one of Holly's jokes. It's pretty cold up here. It's today we've got a wind chill near minus 40, and you really do need your willy warmers out for this weather. It's ridiculous, honestly.
Wow. You know, and you know, listen, I started the show by just talking about the weather outside my doorstep here, and it's crazy. You know, again, it's starting to taper down here, but it is blizzard conditions because the wind is just taking the snow everywhere. So it is kind of wild outside. So you and I are both dealing with extreme cold. I'm dealing with snow, and actually for me it's been close to zero here. So I'm dealing with cold, but not like you, my friend. So please stay warm. But I was just speaking to Amelia. You know, again, we're talking about the differences between Ipswich Town and Fulham right now. Because, again, talent-wise, Giannis, I don't know how you feel about this. I don't see a huge talent gap. I see an informed striker and an experienced squad. But first of all, I want to get your thoughts on that, but also what you watched on the replay today. I'm curious your overall thoughts on the match yesterday.
Well, I was just listening to Emilio's comments, and he's bang on. And I was reading an article by Chris Simpson this morning about.
Yes, please. Everyone should read the article by Chris Simpson. Go ahead.
It was excellent. And you know, and I've got a lot of time for Mick McCarthy as a manager at Ipswich, but Kit's had 23 games. In fact, no, he's had more, because he's had League Cup and he's also had FA Cup. And somewhere along the line, common sense has to kick in. I mean, we had this ridiculous notion of, you know, the Ruiz transfer to Levante fell through. So he puts out his lineup yesterday, and the most skillful player we've got in that whole squad, he doesn't even start. And then he waits 68 minutes to bring the bugger on. And then he makes a difference when he comes on. I think part of the problem is a lot of the people could say, well, you know, your backseat coaches, you're sitting there, it's easy to sit in the stands and listen at home. But a lot of what we're seeing as fans is absolute common sense. You know, defending set pieces, going a goal down after 5 minutes. You know, the last 2 minutes before half time, putting your body on the line. Stefanidis did in the second half with that block off the line. But we're 2-0 down. We're chasing shadows. Yeah, we get the goal back, but did we really look like we were going to get back in it? And then what made me laugh, I went onto West London Sport, and Kit saying, well, the next few games are going to be critical to see if we're in a relegation. Right, no shit, Sherlock. Jesus Christ. Like, I mean, chosen specialised subject, the bleeding obvious. We're 19th, and we're playing Millwall next week. And yeah, that's a forget the six-pointer, that's a 12-pointer. We've got
huge
to get something out of that. Huge game. And I don't care about the sustainability and, you know, that you let the young players think, yeah, let them develop in League One. It's looking very dicey right now. And, you know, I think Kit's he's lost the plot. Forget the plan B. Where's the bloody plan A right now? It's depressing to watch. And, with Bradford beating up on Sunderland right now in the FA Cup, it makes it even worse because we could have been in that. We could have had a nice little cut run with arses in gear, but there you go. I don't know. It's all nonsense.
Okay, Giannis. No, listen, I told you, feel free to rant, and I'm glad that you got that off your chest, and hopefully you feel better after getting that off your chest, my friend. But again, I see what you're saying, but you just watched the match, and you see Ipswich Town are currently fourth. What is the difference for you? Where do you see where they're exceeding and Fulham are failing?
They're better coached. They're better coached.
Okay, so for you, it really comes down to Kit.
Yeah, I was going to do my cheap imitation of Mick McCarthy, but but you know what? He's a proven manager, and they were very well organized. I mean, the thing is that, I mean, the one thing that they did, where I think Kit does have control, the one thing that they did is they worked harder than us. Whenever we got the ball, they were tremendous in terms of closing space down. They all fought like lions. And the goal, our goal was fortuitous, as we know.
Right.
But well taken by Russ. But to be honest, I mean, they're a very, very tight defensive unit. They've got a nice little system going. We've got this diamond system going, and I'm sorry, it's not working. It's not working. It's far too narrow. We've got to start utilizing width, because as coaches, you realize if you use width, you're creating more space behind. I mean, it's common sense. And I just think that, you know, you look at a team like Ipswich, and you're right, the talent level isn't that much different, but they work harder than us, and they're better organized than us. And part of that is to do with will, and part of it is to do with coaching.
Very interesting take. You know, again, it's funny because watching back, my thought was they were going at one speed and Fulham were going at a different speed, at a slower speed.
Yeah.
And you know, again, listen, everything starts with the manager, so I see why you're looking at Kit on that, but we also have to talk about the players too, because they need to up their energy to be able to match what Ipswich Town gave them. Because, again, like you said, it really felt like they were in a different gear than the Fulham players. They were always on top of Fulham whenever they had possession. And when I go through the stats, Giannis, when you have 60% of possession and the match ends up the way it does, you know, again, it opens up the questions, and we'll go through that when we go through the stats, because, again, they did have a good amount of possession. But we always talk about this. What do you do with the possession? And how do you create opportunities? And I think that's where it all breaks down. But it also breaks down with determination. You know, again, I'm not saying that these young players aren't determined to play, but one team wanted it more. And I think that's what it comes down to. If you really want to nail it, I think it comes down to one team wanting the 3 points more than the other club. All right, guys, let's move on. Let's go to the key moments. And Emilio, I'm going to start with you. Let's go right to the goal. This early goal by Ipswich Town, and like you mentioned at the beginning of the show, the warning signals were already out because, again, they were on top of us from the minute the match started, and only 5 minutes in they get this goal by Daryl Murphy off of a corner kick. And again, I got to ask you, who do you blame for this goal? Do you give all the credit to Murphy, or do you put partial blame on the Fulham players here?
I think the full responsibility is on our defence. We were nervous. Obviously, that first minute, there was that warning sign when they missed a fairly easy opportunity in the first minute. But 3 minutes later, there was a sort of a decent cross into the box, but, you know, and I thought Bettinelli should have come for it, you know, right in front of me. He probably stood firmly rooted on his line. Had he come to showed a bit more authority to come and claim that, we would have had the ball, it would have been a goal kick, and we would have cleared away and totally attacked from there. But instead, a bit of panic in the area, a bit of nervousness amongst defenders. I believe it was Stafelidis who cleared it for a corner. The corner came in, and Murphy, you know, it was a header on target. It wasn't the most powerful of headers, and it bounced on the ground. I thought maybe Bettinelli could have done better, maybe could have parried it sideways. Didn't, but Stafelidis was in the right place, should have dealt with it, you know, much better, and we shouldn't have conceded that goal. It was, you know, suicidal defending, and, you know, we deserve to be a goal down. Whatever anyone says, the warning signs were there for the first 3 minutes. They weren't particularly special, it was just, but we gave them so much space, so much time on the ball, and we were just panicking. We just couldn't pass the ball to feet. We were just, every time we had the ball, we were giving it away, and we made them look a lot better than they actually were. And we've got this tendency of conceding too many corners, and I'd love to know what our corner count is to date this season. We must be one of the teams that's conceded the most corners. Just very, very frustrating. But I think this situation could have been avoided had we just dealt with it from the cross into the box. It could have been dealt with more effectively. Instead, easy option, clear it for a corner. 1 minute later, bang, 1-0 up. So disappointing defending, but you expect players to be doing better. Kiba should have, in my view, should have done a little bit better. And separately, this should have cleared confidently and didn't. So, catalogue of disasters, and we're 1-0 down, deservedly so.
I agree with all that, Emilio. I watched it a few times, and I thought, you know, again, you talk about Stafelidis and also Bettinelli should have done better. But overall, they should have done better on Murphy. And, you know, again, he had a good opportunity, but, again, it was too easy for him. It's too easy for a player of his level in the championship. He's, you know, he's an informed striker, and you give him that header, and, you know, again, he's going to score. And then, you know, again,
Absolutely.
We'll talk about the second goal, too. Same situation with an informed striker. Nothing special, but he scores. That's what this guy does. All he does is score. And I have to give him credit, but I also have to give blame to Fulham. And, Giannis, I'm now going to go to you because, you know, listen, to Fulham's credit, they tried to get back into the game and actually had a decent spell. I would say around the 15th minute, they're passing the ball nicely around the box, and it ended up with Jazz Richards, you know, could have had an opportunity to shoot, but I think he just missed the ball, honestly. But I want to talk about just the overall possession at this point. Again, they're passing the ball around, but none of it is penetrating. Is that what you saw with some of our possession early in this game?
Yeah, absolutely agree. I think that gentleman Jim, I know actually Sean Davis had said in the commentary that the gap between the defense, our D, and the midfield was far too narrow. There just didn't seem to be a lot of space. And you can have all the possession you want, but if you can't create something out of it, there's nothing you can do about it. And you said something earlier about the work ethic. I was thinking about it while I was listening to the game yesterday, and it was really tantamount to comparing a Ford Mustang with a Reliant Robin. Because really, I mean, Ipswich Town put their bodies on the line yesterday, and you know, I don't think the talent level, except with the exception of Blackpool at the bottom, is that great between the top and the bottom. I just think that it's organisation and work ethic. And, 61% of possession, Russ, but one shot on target.
Yes.
I mean, and the thing is, this is where I'm going to go back to Kit. He said 23 games, and a number of we've had one shot on target, two shots on target, three shots on target.
Did I lose you, Giannis? Okay.
Yeah, I'm here.
Oh, okay. I thought I lost it for a second.
You know, and if you only have one shot on target, guess what? You can't score two goals. So, you know, it's. I mean, again, you know, great possession. Let's look back to that first goal. Kamikaze defending, horrendous defending, 5 minutes in, and you're playing at home in a big game. I mean, how many times do we have to concede these ridiculous goals from set pieces? And you talked about the corner count, and you're absolutely right. How many of those are avoidable as well? It's just, you know, kid's got to go to the training ground. I'm not sure what he's doing on the training ground. This team needs to be better organized. We're not organized right now. We're a rabble. And somehow he has to suss it out. Millwall's going to be a huge game for us. If we lose that, we're in deep doo-doo. Deep doo-doo.
It's a huge, listen, it's a huge swing. If they do not win that game, you know, again, I think a draw would be an okay result, but really, they need to win it. They need to get away from this relegation zone, and that would really be a huge step forward. But it's a huge match, Giannis. There's no question about that. But, you know, it really is. But guys, I do have some good news. Looks like we have our other co-host on the line, so I'm going to bring him on. Mr. Tyvee, thank you for joining us today.
Oh, you're welcome. Sorry about the technical issues. I'm not very good with technology, but I got there in the end. So, again, thanks for having me.
Not a problem, Joe. Listen, you are welcome here anytime, so I'm glad that you could join us. And we're just going through the key moments, but let's just take a little respite from that. And I just want to get your just overall thoughts on what you watched at Craven Cottage yesterday.
Wasn't impressed at all. As previously been mentioned, lots of possession, no penetration, no lack of movement, lots of sideways passing. Even the long balls at the end weren't accurate, we really failed to trouble the keeper. And apart from the sort of fairly fortuitous goal from Ross, we didn't do enough with our possession.
Yeah, listen, again, the stats will show the possession and everything else, but I think you really nailed the issues here. You know, we can have all this great possession, but if you only get one shot on target, you're not giving yourself a real good chance to get anything from the match, let alone win the match. Listen, Joe, thank you very much again for joining us. We're going to go through all these steps in the match, and then we'll go to rating the players. But while I have you, I'm going to go right back to you. I want to get your thoughts on this shot by Alex Kaczyniklic in the 33rd minute. Now, again, the stats don't show it as a shot on target, but it looked like it was on target to me. Talk about this opportunity, and do you think that this was possibly going to go in?
I personally thought, I was at the opposite end of the ground when seeing it live, but when I saw the replay, I thought it was going wide anyway. It might have hit the outside of the post, even if you hit a post or crossbar, that's a shot off target, not on target. But it's all academic, really. That, you know, apart from the goal, that was probably the best chance we created. I can't think of anything else, and that just sums it up for me. You know, pretty poor.
Very poor. You know, because again, I was really scrounging around trying to find key moments in the match, and I'm like, okay, well, I have to mention this shot by Kaka, and you just said, you know, what other opportunities were there? You know, again, we could talk about the goal, but besides that, where else were the opportunities for Fulham? And Emilio, I'm gonna go to you because again, that was in the 33rd minute. In between that, Marcus Bettinelli had two really key saves on Freddie Sears that kept Fulham at only at 1-0, but of course, you know, going into the end of the half, we give up a second goal again by Daryl Murphy. Talk about this, and when this went in, did you think the match was over? I'm being honest. When I heard this, I thought the match was over. It wasn't even halftime yet.
Me and Joe, obviously, we always talk throughout the game, right next to each other. We always comment on decisions, performances, etc. He had far too much time there. You know, I'm not going to repeat what I said to you offline yesterday evening, Russ, about what I thought. You can't give any strikers, least of all a...
Okay, I lost Emilio. Emilio's having connectivity issues there. Sorry about that. Giannis, I'll go to you. You know, again, you've watched the replay. What did you think about the second goal that Fulham gave up at the end of the first half?
Russ, I could have baked a cake in less time than the time he had to just take the shot. I mean, bloody hell. You got a minute before half-time, and we all know that, you know, just before half-time, just after half-time, critical points. It was a good goal. Listen, I'm going to give him credit. It was a nicely taken goal. Bettinelli's got no chance. But what on earth are you doing not closing down space? That was brutal. And you could tell, any part of the balloon that was actually inflated was just popped with that goal. it was game over. There was no way we were going to come back in that, especially as well organised as Ipswich were. The only way we were going to get back was through a mistake. And irony of ironies, of course, there was a mistake. But no, I mean, that was the killer. If we'd gone in one down, maybe we'd got a chance second half. But two down was going to be really...
Okay. All right. Good stuff there. All right. All right, guys. This will take us to the end of the first half. And I'm going to share this because I listened to Kit's interview with the BBC after the match, and he was asked this question. Did you consider making changes at the half for the second half, you know, right away, making changes? He said he considered it, but he decided to go with the players that he had already out there. Again, I'm paraphrasing, but he did consider making changes at the half. And Emilio, I'm going to go to you, starting at the second half. Do you think that Kit should have made changes then, or do you think that he... You know, again, we end up getting the goal a little bit later, but do you think he should have made second-half changes to the lineup and possible formation changes?
Absolutely. I said to Joe, as soon as the half-time whistle went, I actually said there was still hope. We could have still got something out of the game, provided he changed it immediately. You know, no good. You know, it wasn't working in the first half. Zero shots on target. Something needed to change dramatically, and he needed to change it. That's when he needed to get some balls and actually and change the system, change the formation. And I was calling out for Brian Ruiz to try to make that difference. He didn't make the change until the 68th minute, and you know we were languishing. We didn't really create anything of note in the first quarter of an hour in the second half. And it's just, what are you waiting for, Kit? Change it for better for worse. There's nothing to lose scenario, and you know we were crying out for a change with immediate effect, and you know it didn't happen. And had we made that change, who knows? The game could have changed. We could have scored a little bit earlier, gained a bit more confidence. That would have created a bit more momentum. Who knows? Get a penalty. Funny things have happened in football, but if you don't make those tactical decisions and make them quick, then you're going to rue them come the end of the game. And you know that's the difference between Mick McCarthy. If Mick McCarthy's team was 2-0 down against Fulham yesterday, he would have changed it at half time. No, there's no question about that. And that's the
I totally agree with that, and that's the reason why I wanted to discuss this before we even talk about the second half. Because when I heard this interview, and I'm thinking, he had the opportunity, he thought about the opportunity, but decided to stick with his guys. And Giannis, I'm going to go to you as a coach. You know, again, I'm curious your mindset when you're thinking about this. Things aren't working. You're down 2-0. You need to make a change. And I don't see this as an insult to the players out there. To make changes at the half. It sounds like he wanted, you know, again, maybe this is being a former player. He's thinking, you know, I want to give them more belief in themselves. So I want to see them play a little bit longer before I make a change. But again, isn't this the perfect opportunity when you're down 2-0 to say, you know what, I have to change things now instead of waiting, like you mentioned, bringing on Brian Ruiz in the 68th minute. Maybe if he makes the change a little bit earlier, things happen more dramatically earlier than they do later.
Well, Ross, let's put it this way. When we came out after halftime, the sixth letter of the alphabet could be heard prominently in this household.
Okay.
Because I'm thinking, you've got your most skillful player sitting on the bloody bench. I mean, he's not been able to play, right? We found out in the midweek he's not going to Spain. This guy's pissed off, and you know he's a professional, and you know he wants to play. And what do? You park his ass on the bench for nearly 70 minutes. He's the one player that can unlock him, because he's got skill in abundance. But no, wait till it's 22 minutes to go, and then you might decide to do it. I mean, just absolutely mind-numbing. You know, I mean, Patrick Roberts, Paul, I feel sorry for the lad. People talk about how great he is and all this skill, and I agree. So you give him 5 minutes. 5 minutes. What's he going to do in 5 minutes? If you're going to make the changes, you're two goals down. Make the changes. At least make a couple of subs at half time. Change the flavour a little bit. Change the approach. It makes you wonder what on earth was talked about at half time. Did they just have a cup of tea and sit there in silence? Did they get the rich teas out? Or were they just watching Coronation Street on the box? I don't know. You've got to make, I mean, you're two goals down with that lineup. It makes sense to change things up, change the formation, bring a sub or two on, give Ipswich a different look, give them something to think about. And there was nothing. They must have had Mick McCarthy. That's a bloody laugh. He must have had a good laugh when he came out half time. Said, "Oh, they've done nothing. This is 3 points easy." And then when Ruiz came on, it seems like we stepped it up a bit. And he's a quality, whatever people think about him, he's a quality player, and he does make a difference. And but by then it was too late.
Yeah, you know, listen, there was too much to do at that point. You know, again, we do get the goal by Ross McCormack, you know, like we're all talking about fortuitously, but maybe if he makes an earlier substitution, gives him a little bit more time to get a goal. You know, again, it's the difference between one and two goals. Joe, I want to go to you because, again, you Emilio was already talking that you guys were talking about this. So, again, going back to what Emilio said, if it's Mick McCarthy, he makes the change. Do you agree with that?
Who knows? Going back to the issue of halftime substitutions, I'm not always in favour of that. It's quite rare that it's done anyway. But I agree that it should have been done on Saturday because it's not as if we were 2-0 down, but creating chances. Therefore, you give the same players, you know, a bit more time, and then after about 60, 70 minutes, then you make changes. But we had created nothing, which meant that, sod it. Change it, because it's not working. You know what I mean? So, I agree totally with Yanis and Emilio. There should have been changes at halftime, because we created nothing. So, what the hell?
I hear you, Joe. And I just want to mention this because, again, as we go through this, you know, and Yanis, you listen to this. You probably heard Sean Davis say this, and I've heard many fans say this, and this is something that's going to be talked about a great deal on the Facebook pages and groups and also on the message boards. Plan B. What is Kidd's plan B? Where is his plan B? And Sean Davis brought up Matt Smith, you know, and of course we're all thinking, when is Matt Smith coming back? Is that the right answer? Again, I'm not sure Matt Smith is the answer to our problems, but again, we keep going back to this plan B. But listen, you know, again, there has to be some change. You know, that's what disappointed me when I expected there to be a change at halftime. That's, you know, forget about it, plan A, plan B. I expect there to be some kind of change, and it took too long. You know, again, I think if he does it at halftime, maybe the results are different. I just think it gives us more opportunity to possibly get something out of this match if he changed it then. But I understand his belief. You know, he believes in his guys. He goes with his guys. But if there was a time to make a change, I think it was at halftime. And, you know, again, I've been one that has back Kidd, so this is difficult for me. And I'm going to agree with you guys. I think he made a mistake here. I think he should have changed it then. Sorry. Sorry, Kidd, if you're listening to this. I think he made a mistake.
But also one other thing, Russell, I wanted to say as well was around maybe we should – is there any coincidence or irony around the comment he made after the Bolton game when he said at halftime his players didn't listen to what he said at halftime? And we didn't create one shot on target in the second half against Bolton. That's a very telling statement. You know, what is that telling you? Are the players playing for him? Or are we just not good enough? Or other reasons? So that statement on record post the Bolton game midweek, the players did not respond to his discussions at halftime. He was very disappointed with that. That's a very telling statement.
Right. Listen, that's a very good point. You know, and listen, you and I talked off air, and I'm not saying that this is going on, but it made me think after hearing those comments, and then what's going on here? Are they not listening to him? Are they tuning him out for whatever reason? I don't know the answer, but it's something to think about because something is not getting through to these guys in the second half of these matches. You know, again, when you have one good half and one bad half, and it's funny, our co-host David Holly was joking, well, that was a bad half. Does that mean the second half is going to be the good half? And I don't even know if you would call the second half, a real good half. I think it was a better half, but that's not saying a great deal, guys. That's the problem here, you know. And that's very good by you, Emilio, for bringing that up because if he's telling them something to do and they're not doing it or they're not listening to him, who's to blame there? Is it, you know, again, for me, if he's giving them instructions and they're not listening to it, well, then I got to put it on the players, you know, to get it done, to execute. And but I think it's a combination of a lot of things. I think the players, you know, again, are just not gelling together quickly enough. you know, and Kit's not getting his message out because they're not executing what he wants them to. At least that's what seems to be going on. It could be a combination of a lot of things. And like I said, I'm someone that supported Kit being the manager. I'm still going to say I want Kit to be the manager to the end of the season and take it from there. But he's making it difficult on me. He's making it hard on me to back him on some of these things. He really is. And I'll be the first to say, you know, again, I disagree with not making a change at halftime. Anyways, let's now go to the second half, guys. You know, again, let's be honest here. It was going to be an uphill battle, and Fulham did get a lifeline. I want to say around the 74th minute with a goal by Ross McCormack. And Giannis, you probably have seen this by now, so share with me your thoughts. Again, there was a fortuitous opportunity for McCormack to score, but you know, and again, I heard Kit in this interview. He was asked this question, and the person who was interviewing him said, "Well, Ross had to be in the right spot anyway, so he was actually in a good spot to score. It was a little accidental, but I'll take the goal at this point." So, share with me your thoughts on the goal by Ross McCormack.
Yeah, cross has come in, and Tommy Smith, who I thought had actually had a very, very good game, as he's sort of he's tried to kick it, he's miskicked it, and McCormack's finished it really well. It's a very, very good finish. But really, I kept thinking in the first half, the only way we're going to unlock them is if we get a gift. You know, we didn't really look as though we had the penetration or the know-how. And part of it, again, was to do with the formation. We've got players like Katanovic, who wide can cause real problems. But with the formation being the way it is, it's far too narrow. And against a team like Ipswich, who do, I think, a brilliant job in terms of transitioning attack into defence. I mean, they really do drop behind the ball and they restrict the space. You ally that with a narrow formation and you're asking for trouble. So the only way we were going to create anything really from open play, I thought, was going to be a mistake. And to give Russ credit, it was a good finish. But then we didn't kick on. We really didn't. I mean, it was, you know, hopeful long balls in the box that weren't going anywhere against defenders who were very, very strong in the air. And that might even have been, you know, with the introduction of the subs to slightly adjust the formation to make it a little bit wider. You know, let's use bylines. But he didn't do it. It's strange because, you know, you could say, you know, people, whether it's myself or Emilio or David or the fans, you could say, well, you know, you're not sitting where Kit is. And fair enough. But when thousands of fans are seeing the same thing as we are, then, you know, I mean, we can't all be wrong. And it was just daft. You've got to, good coaches adjust their formations as well as their lineups in game time. And I think that's what marks a McCarthy out from a Simons. Experience is one thing, but, you know, it's just the common sense know-how. And you know what? McCarthy has coached in the Premier League, and it shows. And I think that Simons right now, his approach is naive, and he needs to be able to adjust that pretty quickly.
Well, let me ask you this. This is something that Emilio and I talked offline last night. Do you think that the team should bring him some help with maybe a consultant to really help him out there, Giannis? Maybe some experienced manager to give him a hand. I'm not saying take over for him, but help him. Do you think he needs someone to bounce ideas off of, and that might be helpful? I know how you feel about it right now, but do you think that the club should consider getting him some help?
I don't disagree. I think that's a great idea. I mean, I know that the Kirby Wilkins thing was a disaster last year, and I subscribe to the notion that bad managers don't become bad overnight. I don't think Wilkins was necessarily a bad manager, and I know for a fact that Kirby wasn't. So, you know, I wouldn't take Wilkins. Kirby could help out. And even if you're not going to go for experience, bring someone in like Danny Murphy, who doesn't have the experience, but one thing about him is he's tremendously analytical. He's a common sense guy. He does see things that most of us, even experienced coaches, don't seem to see. He has an eagle eye. He's greatly respected in the game. And I'll tell you what, if he walks in that changing room right now, he commands instant respect, more respect than Kit does. No disrespect to Kit. But Danny Murphy has been an England international. He's won Champions League. He's won FA Cups. He's had a tremendous career. and he walks in, and you've got that respect instantly. And right now, there needs to be almost a third point. There needs to be a third point coach who can walk in the changing rooms, see something, talk to players, gear them up. You know, this doesn't work against certain teams. Maybe do we adjust this way? Do we look at things a little bit differently? Because right now, Kit strikes me as someone who is stubborn. And stubborn is great when you're successful. But when things aren't going well, stubborn is cataclysmic. And right now, beyond the Millwall game, I see Wolves, I see Watford, I see Bournemouth in the horizon.
Yeah.
And it's not pretty. So, Mr. Khan, while he's sitting in his phone, called it Jackassville, I'm hoping he's taking a real critical look at what's happening right now, because we're not far off the bottom three, and things are looking very, very nervy. And to the fans that say, well, you know, we've got to wait till the end of the year to consolidate what? So that we're in League One. We're not going up, we know that. So now it's survival. We've got to survive first before we start talking about consolidation. And right now we're in a precarious position.
Yeah, we are, Giannis. And listen, the reason why I brought this up, you know, again, Emilio and I were talking about this, that I actually think it's a good idea. You know, I just look at other sports, you know. Listen, you know that I follow the New England Patriots. And Bill Belichick listens to his coordinators, you know, again, with ideas, you know, if you bring something to them, they are willing to change things. He's willing to adjust. And I'm looking at a situation that I want Kit to be able to adjust. If he has to, if he feels it's necessary, adjust. You know, and that's why I think a second set of eyes might help him do that. And that's why I like Emilio's suggestion, you know, and I don't think it's a bad idea. And I think it's only to help him out. You know, listen, Rene Muhlenstein wanted help. You know, Martin Jol wanted help. It's okay to have someone to help you. You know, it's okay. It could actually benefit you as a manager to bounce ideas off of. And that's my only thought. I want him to have someone that will come to him and say, you know what, think about it this way. Think about it that way. And then maybe he will adjust, you know, or maybe he'll just go with his own ideas. But again, in some of these crucial situations, you know, again, I think being able to adjust could be a benefit for him and for the team. You know, again, he's a new manager. He's learning on the fly. I just, you know, again, when Emilio mentioned that to me offline, I'm like, you know what? It's a very good idea. I think he needs someone else in there that could really help him out. I'm not against someone like Danny Murphy or someone experienced, but I think he needs some help. All right, guys.
Yep.
Let's move on. And, Joe, I'm going to go to you. You know, again, listen, I wrote down some half opportunities by Fulham. There was one header by Hugo. There was a couple opportunities by Kaká. But there was really nothing really concrete to really go in and talk about. So, you know, again, I just want to get your thoughts. You know, again, after the goal by McCormack, did you see anything that gave you hope that they were going to get that equalizer, or did you think it was going to end up 2-1? I'm just curious.
Yeah, I thought it was going to end up 2-1 the way we, you said, we didn't kick on after the Ross goal. We started sort of pumping long balls up front, and even they weren't accurate. You know, they were aimless balls back to their goalkeeper. So the way we played, I mean, I know Ruiz sort of came on, and he, you know, 15 minutes wasn't enough for him to get to be too influential. You could see him start trying to thread balls through, but you know, the way we were set up, we just didn't get any space in behind them. We were playing in front of them for the whole game, and that included the last 15 minutes. So I didn't really think that after our goal went in, after the first 5 minutes, we didn't kick on, and most of the game. After that goal was played in midfield, really, with a few aimless long balls up front, with you know, in desperation, even Hutchinson was up there to add a bit of height. Yeah, Corley Woodrow didn't really, sort of, when he came on, didn't really do much, because I think one or I can't remember which centre back of Ipswich is, but you know, he owned the Fulham forwards all day long. Yeah, Roddy Egger first, hardly won a header. Corley Woodrow, when he came on, dominated by the centre-back. So I really, there wasn't much change after the goal, so I didn't really see anything happening. I thought, if anything, you know, the only way we'd get a draw would be a fortuitous sort of situation or a penalty or a set-piece situation.
You know what? I think you really nailed that there, Joe, because, again, I watched it this morning, and I couldn't see anything to hold on to. So, you know what? If they did this, if they, no. No, again, you know, they were solid in the back, you know, again, unless it was going to be another mistake, but that would be asking a lot from a team as experienced as them for a second mistake, you know, and Tommy Smith, like Giannis mentioned, he's a good player. He made his one mistake. They weren't going to get another chance like that, and it didn't happen. But Emilio, I want to go to you because I don't know if you got a good look at this. I watched this several times. I got to be honest with you. Fulham could have very easily lost this match 3-4-1. But here's an opportunity where Stafelidis actually really kept the match 2-1. I don't know if you got a good look. It was in the last 10 minutes. He cleared the ball off the line once again with a shot by Tyrone Mings. Did you get a good look at this?
Yeah, we saw. It was obviously outside of the pitch from ourselves, but when we looked at it yesterday, I haven't seen the replay, but it seemed like Bettinelli made a good save initially, and then Stafelidis just cleared off the line. And again, like I said, it could have been a lot worse for us, but I don't think we did enough to try to push. I think we should have gone a bit more and make a change. We went 2-1 up or 2-1 down. We could have changed it. We could have brought Pat Roberts on immediately. Maybe sacrifice Cunnicliffe or Parker. Just go for it sort of attitude. Nothing to lose rather than just trying to be patient, play the long balls and with players that we haven't got good enough to hold the ball up or to win those headers. So my view is, yeah, we were lucky not to go further behind in the game. But, you know, thanks to Stafelidis, who had a good second half compared to the first, and Bettinelli, who made a great save as well. But my view is, 2-1, you had an opportunity to had another substitute in the bag, put Patrick Roberts on, run at their defence, maybe sacrifice someone in midfield just for the sake of going for it. But, you know, there was that spur of 2 or 3 minutes that you get when you suddenly score a goal, the crowd's lifted, the players start to see maybe that there's an opportunity here to get something from the game. But then we just fizzled out, and to be honest, it didn't look like scoring an equaliser. And even I was saying to Joe as well, in the old days in the Premier League, when we're a goal behind with minutes to go, we used to put Hangeland up front. Why didn't we just push Sean Hutchinson up front and just play long balls to him? But no, they didn't. So we continued to play the long ball, but left Hutchinson in defence. There was an opportunity to get somebody who's strong in the air, you know, assured and composed, put him up front. Nothing to lose again. But you're trying to sort of play tightly, but trying to maybe fortuitously trying to get a second goal, rather than going all guns blazing in the hope you get a second, but you may concede a third. So again, tactics, naivety, maybe plan A of kit is not, you know, trying to focus on defence first. But there was an opportunity there, 20 minutes to go, you've got a chance to get an equaliser. Just go for it, all guns blazing, nothing to lose. But no, we're just a little bit too reserved and too negative.
You know, very good point there, Emilio. And one thing that I want to bring up, because Giannis mentioned it, and you mentioned it as well. He brings on Pat Roberts in the 85th minute. The goal by Ross McCormack happened in the 76th minute. Why didn't he do it earlier? Wasn't the time, like you mentioned, it right after the goal? Isn't that the right time to bring him on, Emilio?
Exactly. You've got the momentum. And Ipswich were making mistakes. There was more fouls. They were being a little bit more niggly. They felt, hold on, they can end up dropping 2 points here. So that goal unnerved them, and you know, if we had a bit more pressure, we got at them and started, you know, using the channels a lot better. We barely used the channels the whole game. Like I said, we're too narrow in the way we play. But 15 minutes to go, anything can happen. Get somebody who's
right,
quick, niggly, might get a free kick, a penalty. Who knows? Anything could happen. But again, we were just a little bit too conservative in the approach, and just maybe hoping for a standard goal to come from open play. When the reality is, we didn't really create anything of note, and we could have fallen further behind. So, again, in those situations, best to get a point than no point. So go for it. Nothing to lose attitude. But he didn't do that, unfortunately.
Yeah, you know, and that's the way I look at it. And he's even said that in some matches, you know, like, hey, we're going to go for it. You know, what's the difference between losing 2-1 and 3-1? And I actually agree with it. So that's why I'm a little surprised that he didn't make the move a little sooner. And Giannis already mentioned that, you know, again, 10 minutes later, he makes the move. But that's only giving Pat Roberts 5 minutes and stoppage time to make an impact, where instead he could have 15 minutes to make an impact and run at them. You know, and 5 minutes is a difficult period of time. You know, again, we're talking stoppage time, and that was, you know, and that was its own situation. But really, you're talking only 5 minutes compared to 15 minutes. Give the kid a chance to run at them and see if Fulham can get the equalizer. That was, again, another decision that I wish he made earlier. You know, again, it's about making these decisions a little bit earlier. You mentioned playing conservative instead of saying, you know what, we have nothing to lose, go for it. It's 2-1, now you have a chance, go for it. All right, guys, well, talking about go for it, obviously Fulham end up losing this match 2-1, and, you know, a very disappointing result. So before we go and rate the players, and we're going to have to do that fairly quickly, I'm going to go to Stat Attack, and let's see what we can get out of the stats. I think they are revealing this week. Let's start with possession. Fulham had 61%, to Ipswich having 39%. Total shots. I found this interesting because I didn't realize it was that even. Ipswich had 15, Fulham had 13. Here's the one stat that just is glaring. Ipswich had 9 shots on target, Fulham only had 1. Corners, Ipswich had 6, Fulham had 5. Crosses, Ipswich had 19, Fulham had 13. And Giannis, I will start with you. I think it has to be shots on target, but I'm curious your thoughts overall of the stats and what they tell us.
Couldn't score in a brothel, could we? I mean, really, in 90 minutes? I mean, Clough used to say it takes a second to score a goal. And the last time I looked, that's 5,400 seconds. And that's excluding injury time. It's. I mean, 15 shots on one on target is pathetic. It really is. You know, and it's not the first time. It's not an isolated incident. You know, things have to change. We're not going to win games unless we get shots on net. I mean, enough is enough. I'm sure they, you know, you and I, Russ, are both familiar with what happens here in North America with analytics, okay?
Yeah.
And, you know, surely there's somebody at the club that looks at this and says, now look, hold on a minute. We've had 7 shots on net in the last 4 games. Something's not quite right. We're not going to win games unless we have shots on net. We're not. And to me, the way you do that is you've got to change the formation. You've got to put yourself in positions to get behind the back four to create the chances to score goals. Because at the end of the day, that's what it's all about. So, not surprised.
Okay. Joe, how about you?
The possession stat sort of reminded me a bit like the Birmingham game a week ago. Second half, we had control over them. But again, like yesterday, we didn't do anything with the possession. Yeah.
Right.
And as Giannis said, there's an issue there about the formation. Yeah. So, you know, we're not doing anything with the possession. The stat on shots on target has been an issue now for a number of weeks, and it's getting serious now. You know, we need to do something about it. I don't know what, but you know, maybe the issues we've been talking about, Kit gets help, or you know, change of formation. I don't know, but you know, we're talking about home games here. We're not talking about away games. We're talking about home games. You know?
Right.
You know, 1 or 2 shots on target, just not good enough. You know.
I totally agree with you, and I think that's the glaring stat. But it goes along with the possession, like you said, Joe. When you're at home and you have 60% of the possession, and that's all you do with it, I mean, that to me is just unacceptable.
Yeah.
Emilio, over to you. What stands out to you?
Yeah, obviously the guys have said everything that's there to be said. I think on top of what they've said, even the crosses again, that goes to prove obviously we haven't got enough width, and we seem to want too many passes. You know, we're getting congested in sort of out.
Oh, I just lost Emilio. He was funny. He was talking crosses, and it's interesting, guys, because that's going to lead me to, you know, this little bonus topic I'm going to throw in here before we go rate the players, because it was actually Emilio who brought this up to me yesterday while we were talking. And I was watching the Aston Villa match today, and it got me to think, he's got a point here. And, Giannis, I think you're going to agree with a player that we really miss. Who am I talking about that Fulham could really use right now? What player on Aston Villa who's only played 8 matches could do a job for Fulham right now, especially on the wing? Who could that be?
Don't get me going about Kieran Richardson. Don't get me going about Kieran Richardson. Honestly. Really. You know, I honestly, love the guy, love Sidwell, because you know what Richardson gave us? Width. We don't have anybody in the centre of the park that gives us box to box. This is common sense. Richardson, I was so high when we got him. I was so disappointed he left us. I'm not surprised he left us. He's going to play Premier League. Bless his cotton socks. But honestly, we've got one of the smallest grounds in the Championship. Why would we be playing a diamond on a narrow field? Like, really, it doesn't work. It's not working. It's not working. It's not working. How many defeats do we have to go through for him to see that it doesn't bloody work? We do have wide players. Utilize the wide players and pull players wide so that you can open up the space behind you. This makes absolute sense. But oh no, he's going to persist. He's stubborn, man. Russie's stubborn. He is as stubborn as a three-legged donkey, and he's not going to change. And the problem is going to be, maybe he's related to Darren Bent, but the problem is going to be.
Oh boy.
The problem is going to be 3-4 games from now. If we've lost 3-4 more games and now we're in the bottom three, how do we get out of the mess? I mean, this is the thing. He's got to. You know what the old adage is, Russ? To change is difficult, not to change is fatal. You know,
that's actually a great analogy. I'm glad that you brought that up, because sometimes you need to change. And I'm, you know, listen, I'm set in my ways. I don't like change, but I do know that sometimes you need to make changes. And there seems to be this unwillingness to make changes. And I think at some point you need to. It's the reason why I brought up Richardson and Emilio's back with us, because he brought it up to me yesterday. And I'm thinking, boy, he's right. You know, what a job he could do for us right now. And I actually think we really miss Kieran Richardson. I really do. So that's why I just wanted to mention that.
We do miss him, mate. We really do miss him. And the people bitching on about him last year, you be careful what you wish for. You know what? Man, could we do with a player like that? But then again, if we had Kieran Richardson, he'd still be playing the bloody diamond. So,
Well, I'm just throwing out that name, and just because, again, I was thinking about, because we talk about the lack of width, I'm like, man, there's a guy that could really just do a job for us, and it's just too bad, because he's not even playing for Aston Villa. That's the frustrating part of this. He's not even playing for them, so he's just sitting there. He wasn't even included on the bench today. I'm like, oh, Kieran Richardson could do a job for Fulham football. I just wanted to bring that up. Emilio, I know how you feel about it. Joe, just real quick, because then we have to rate the players. What are your thoughts about just a player like that?
Well, I mean, I don't know. I mean, it was okay for us last year. He pops up with a few crucial goals. But, you know, we've got wingers at the club. But it's how you deploy them. Yeah?
That's true.
We had a bunch of sort of fairly average players under Hodgson, but it's the formation and the system that you use. Yeah, it's not always about the players. Yeah, Kieran Richardson, fine, and whether he'd have an effect, like Yanis says, probably put him in the old diamond formation. You know. The one thing I can't get my head around is that if Kit's a rookie, why would he be so stubborn? Surely he's learning, and he's got to get the advice from people around him. He's got to be open to new ideas. I hope he's not stubborn, because if he is, then that's no way to learn, you know. And so, you know, you can imagine a long-standing manager being a bit stubborn in their ways, but this is a guy that's just managed the youth side. So I would hope he isn't stubborn, because he's there. He's there to learn, and he's got to get advice and change his ways. You know. Anyway,
yeah.
Who knows?
It's a good point. It's a good point that you and Giannis just mentioned. Even if we had a player like that, you know, would he stick him in the diamond and not take advantage of his attributes? And that's, you know, and again, we do have wingers. You know, you guys have already talked about that. You just, you know, again, maybe it is about a change of formation at this point. You know, again, changing your ways, being open to change. You know, and Joe, you bring up a good point. He's a new manager. Wouldn't you be open to change if it's not working? You know, wouldn't you want to change something else? You know, if it's definitely, you know, obviously you're not getting the results. You need to make changes, you would think. But he's sticking to his guns on this. Anyways, let's now go to rating the players, and we are kind of short on time. So I'm going to ask you guys to do this fairly quickly. So just real quickly, let's do Marcus Bettinelli. And Emilio, I'll start with you. Give me a rating for Marcus Bettinelli.
I'm going to give him a 6.5. I think ultimately could have done better with the you know, trying to claim the ball from the, you know, as we discussed earlier, for their first goal. But he made some solid saves in the first half to keep the score down. Made that great save in the second half. And to be honest, he's probably my man of the match, and I'll give him a 6.5. You know, solid, cleared the ball out from defence quickly, tried to keep the momentum going, and, you know, didn't really do much wrong. So it's sort of good to see that he picked up from the mistake from the Bolton game as well. So that was good to see. So I'm giving him a 6.5 on the basis that he was pretty solid and kept the score down again.
Okay, fantastic. Giannis, over to you on Marcus Bettinelli.
I've got to agree, and he was our man of the match. Bettinelli's had a couple of ropey games recently, but he's had a tremendous season. He's just a baby. All the fans that have been going off at him, I have been pissed off with, you know, like, really? He's just a baby, and it's not exactly like he's getting a lot of mentorship from pajamas below. So I think... And actually lost in all of what we talked about before, and we haven't mentioned it, is the lack of transfer, activity. It was ridiculous. Absolutely ridiculous. We bought in, you know, 1 month loaning, and where we could have done a little bit of help for Bettinelli, amongst other things. But he had a decent game yesterday, and he made a couple of good saves. So 6.5 for me, and the man of the match for me.
Okay. Joe, over to you.
I'd agree with all the comments so far. I'm going to give him a 7 because that's the only time you're going to hear 7 from me today. I'll give him a 7 because he kept us in the game. He knows how to block a shot. He tends to sort of parry and pour shots away from the danger. With regards to rebounds, and he did that again yesterday. So 7 for me. His distribution wasn't as good as previous times, but still a good solid 7 for me.
Okay, very good. All right, Emilio, over to you. Unfortunately, we are short of time, so I'm going to have to ask you to do all four of our back four together. You know, just a couple minutes total on them, and. And just share, you know, I know it's a great deal, but just share with me ratings on the total back four there.
Okay, so I'm giving Richards an unspectacular 5. You know, he's not, you know, we've got this player out there for only a month's loan, and as Giannis Riley said in the past, why play him for a month and put Jack Grimmer on the bench? Grimmer's our future, Richards only here for a month, but didn't do anything particularly, you know, notorious yesterday, unspectacular, but there were instances where he did venture forward, so... At times, we probably, if we had a bit more width, we could have made better use of him pushing up from defence. I'm giving him an unspectacular 5. Hutchinson, same, I'm giving him a 5. He feels, again, I've been saying this for the last few weeks, he's a lot more assured than Bodaroff of late. He's got that aerial threat. Again, I don't see why we didn't push him up to the front for the last 10 minutes and hope that we get an equaliser. But he made a few more mistakes than he has in recent games, but I'll give him a 5. Bodaroff, I'm going to give him a 4.5. I think his performances are declining rapidly week on week. He's losing confidence. He's back passing. He's sideways. He's lost a sort of element of assuredness that he had a couple of months back, where he'd be more confident carrying the ball. So it's all I kept seeing was him. It was getting on the wrong side of the defender and maybe had to kick the ball away for a throw-in rather than actually just keeping hold of possession and carrying the ball forward. So very negative, sideways, back passing. you could see he's lacking confidence significantly, so I'm only giving him a 4.5. And Stafford-Leidis, I'm giving him a 5 on the basis he had a good second half. Had he not had a good second half, I would probably give him a 3 or a 4. But on the basis he cleared off the line second half, the through ball for the fortuitous goal, and actually had a bit more of a sort of demeanour about him in the second half. So I'm giving him a 5 on the basis that he had a good first second half.
Okay, very good there. Joe, over to you on the back four.
The fullbacks, Stafford-Leidis, I'd agree with Emilio. I'll give him a 5, again, because he had a decent second half. He didn't have a particularly good first half. I don't know if he could have done better for the goal, but he did redeem himself with the goal line clearance. Richards, I quite like. He's fairly solid, yeah, and he does get involved occasionally. I'm going to give him a 6. He didn't do too much wrong. One or two nice touches, so I'll give him a 6. The two centre backs, Bodaroff and Hutchinson, I'm both going to give them both a 5. Hutchinson, although he is, I agree with Emilio, he does seem to be the better centre back of the two recently. Sort of defended as best he could, but some of his distribution out of defence was very poor, gave the ball away in dangerous situations. Bodarov is not the sort of same player I was seeing earlier in the season. Last time I was on at the Brighton game, I said I'm very impressed with Bodarov overall. He's declined a bit, and
okay.
He's a bit slow, and he didn't have a great game today. Yesterday, sorry. So 5 for both of those. Yeah.
Okay. Fantastic. All right. Giannis, over to you.
Yes,
that was Giannis.
So I'm going to give you very quick ratings for the rest of the players. I'm going to have to love and leave, so to speak. If that's okay with you?
What was that, Giannis?
I'm going to have to. I've got a little emergency that's just cropped up, so I'm going to have to leave in a couple of minutes. But I give you a quick rating before I go, if that's okay.
Okay, fantastic.
Okay, so I'm going to go down the thingies. Richards 5. Go back to Swansea. Hutchinson and Bodiroff 5. Struggling. Stafford-Leidis 5.5. Great clearance off the line. Second half, a nightmare for that first goal. Parker, 6, but looks tired. Christensen, 6, not much impact. Tunnicliffe, 6, worked hard, not much impact. Kaczyniklic, 6, unlucky with that shot. I thought it would have hit the post. McCormack, 5.5, looked out of sorts. Rodallega, 4, looked awful. Ruiz, 6.5, made a difference, has to start next week against Millwall. Roberts wasn't on for long enough. Woodrow, 6, worked hard. Rate the manager, 3, substitutions at the wrong time. Ipswich Town, 8, I thought they played very well. I'd like to see them, they deserve the chance. And the referee, I thought, had a decent game, so I'm going to give him a 7.
Okay, fantastic, Giannis. Listen, thank you so much for joining us. I hope everything's okay. Keep me up to date with what's going on with you, please, my friend.
I will do that, matey, okay? Speak to you guys soon, okay?
Okay,
ciao.
See
you.
Cheers, Giannis.
Bye.
Okay, that was Giannis. Had the drop-off. Hopefully everything's okay. It looks like I might have accidentally dropped off Emilio. Emilio, please do call back. I might have dropped you off by accident. So Emilio, do try to call back in. All right, Joe, I'm going to go to you. Let's talk about the midfield four here, and I know it's a huge amount here, but let's talk about LVC, Scott Parker, Ryan Tunnicliffe, and Alex Kaczyniklic.
Okay, LVC, 5, wasn't very influential, and since he's returned from injury, he's not been the same player. Pretty average, really, yesterday. Scott Parker, I'd agree with Giannis. He looks a bit tired. I'd give him a 5 as well. Not as influential as I thought he would be. I was glad that he was picked because I thought, his ball retention is great, but he didn't do much to influence the game. Kept the ball and did his usual side to side, keeping possession, right, but not much else. Who else have we got?
Clark and Tunnicliffe.
Oh yeah. Okay. Tunnicliffe. I thought did a lot of hard work. I'll give him a 5.5. He was a bit more influential than the others, especially second half. Good key tackles at certain points, and sort of went out wide for a period of time. So he was sort of involved a bit more than the others. And Kaká, I would say 5.5 as well, because you know, he had one or two good runs, and the shot as well, but went sort of went AWOL for long periods of the game. I didn't realise he was there. So when he did get involved, at least he was proactive, but you know, he went missing from lots of spells during the game.
Okay, very good there, Joe. Emilio's back with us. Emilio, give me your ratings for the midfield.
Okay, I'm going to give LBC a 5. Something's not quite right there. You know, it's, and his body language says it all. If it's in the second half, he was, you know, often him and Kaká invariably changing flanks throughout the game, and he doesn't look happy, or he doesn't look fit, or possibly both. So it's two home games in a row I've seen him in the week, and he's not the player he was before his injury. So whether he's still trying to recover from his injury, or whether there's other things going on behind the scenes, but I can't help but put two and two together and actually get four, when there might be some dressing room uncertainty. Who knows? But he's not the same player he was before his injury. So I only give him a 5. He didn't really have much impact on the game. Parker, 5.5. He did try, but he did tire quickly. The last 20 minutes he was ineffective, giving the ball away quite a few times. And me and Joe commented on around 5-10 minutes from the end of the game. He gave the ball away, and his shoulders just dropped. He just looked, ugh, why am I? I don't actually want to be doing this, or I haven't got the energy to continue playing. Again, it could be there's something going on in the dressing room. We don't know, but body language is a worry there as well. Tiredness, but there's other factors there that it's not the same determined Scott Parker we scored 3 months ago. Tunnicliffe, you know, I had written here 4.5, but I'm going to give him a 5 just to keep the peace with the other guys, but I've not been impressed with him thus far. I think he's a player we can compromise and change it in the middle of the field. I'm not seeing what he's offering, other than a few niggly fouls, and all he's done is point here and point there and shout here and shout there. He had a good spell in the second half, about 10-15 minutes down the flanks and getting a lot more of the ball, but didn't do nothing of note. He got a stupid yellow card as well, and another day, that challenge could have been a lot worse. He went in very, very late with an Ipswich defender. Yeah. Deservedly got his yellow card, and Joe commented yesterday it won't be long before he'll get a red card. He's got it in him to get a sending off. I don't like him. He's not the right player for Fulham Football Club. I'm prepared to be abused on Twitter, but he's not done nothing of note in the few games, in the half dozen games he's come on. So very disappointing. 4.5, 5 for me. And Kaká, 5.5. You know, a few good runs. You know, the shots in the first half. He did go absent on a few occasions, I think, as Joe mentioned a few moments ago. So, but there was more determination there. He was trying to make things happen, and you sense a little bit of frustration in his body language. But given his dues, he did try, maybe harder than some of the other players. So that's why I give him a 5.5.
Okay, very good. And Emilio, I was looking forward to your rating on Tunnicliffe, and you didn't disappoint me at all.
I can't see what he's done of note, to be honest. Maybe is he any better or worse than Sidwell? I'd have preferred a Sidwell than Tunnicliffe.
Okay.
That's saying something.
Wow. Okay. David Holly will be ringing me up for you bringing up Steve Sidwell.
At least he scores goals, and that's the key thing.
He does.
We haven't got at the moment.
He does. Steve Sidwell does score goals. All right. Let's move on. And Joe, I'll go right back to you. I'm curious your ratings for Hugo and Ross McCormack.
Yeah, fairly easy, really. Hugo, 4. Didn't do anything all day. Was like I said earlier, was dominated by the centre backs. Got no change out of them all day. Tried hard, but he was just up against a defensive unit that was just not going to give anything away all day, and so therefore didn't get any of the ball. So 4, and McCormack. I've got to give him at least, I don't know, 5.5, because he scored the goal. Otherwise, he wasn't, you know, he wasn't as influential. Had a pretty poor game, really. Didn't do anything to unlock their defence, as you would expect him to, because he's a quality player. But last few games, he's not been shining at all. So 5.5 for Russ.
Okay. Amelia, over to you.
One thing I keep saying is when the going gets tough, you expect your more experienced players to be leading the way and actually, you know, taking control of the situation, try to influence more of the game. But Rodiega did nothing for me yesterday, didn't win any ball. Joe said everything I was to say, so I agree with him. Only a 4 for me. McCormack, again, goes back to what I said to some of the other players. He didn't have the urgency he had in previous games. Whether his body language was down yesterday. He wasn't dropping more deep, just really trying to get a grip of the game and trying to get a stranglehold of the game and the ball. And he just seemed to lack a little bit of motivation yesterday. Other than scoring a goal, he didn't do much of note. I'm giving him a 5.5 on the basis he scored the goal, but one of his worst games for us. But I'd expect these more experienced players to be the ones rising above the situation and trying to take control of the problems. And I didn't see any leadership there on the pitch yesterday. And that's something that was missing quite evident. I know we've not touched on it today, but we didn't have a captain, Scott Parker, on the pitch yesterday. We had a sort of a disappointing and unhappy person there on the pitch. And that's what we're missing. We're missing a leader who's got energy and drive and bottle. And if we haven't got the Scott Parker, we've got Chivonsko. And maybe McCormack's that player. Maybe McCormack needs to start take more on his shoulders. Maybe we're expecting too much from him. But it's these more experienced players, the ones on the higher wages, that we expect more, and rightly so. They're the ones who should be mentoring the younger kids. So if we have to boo the players or the squad, let's boo the experienced players. You know, I'd rather no one gets booed, but don't knock the confidence of our young players just because they're having a poor game. That's not going to do morale any good whatsoever.
No, I hear you on that. And you and I have talked about that. You know, again, I'm not a big fan of booing anyways. I've never been one, even though my father was big into booing with the Boston Red Sox. But that's a separate show. I don't even want to talk. I went back to the Boston Red Sox. I don't even want to talk about them right now. Guys, real quick, you know, again, Giannis went through his ratings of the subs. The only one, there are two subs. I don't want to rate Roberts. Wasn't on too long. So Emil, I'll go right back to you. Real quick, give me a rating for Woodrow and also for Ruiz, because Woodrow came on in the 64th minute and Ruiz came on in the 68th.
Woodrow, 4. Did nothing. You know, he complained a few times when actually he committed a foul and was giving a lot of lip to the lino, to be honest, in the second half. So, you know, didn't do nothing. We didn't get much service, but didn't influence the game whatsoever. So 4 is, I think, is a fair rating for him. Brian Ruiz, I'm giving him a 5.5. You could see he was trying to do something, but he did give the ball away quite cheaply a few times as well. But it was great to see when he was coming on, warming up. The fans gave him a great round of applause in the first half, second half. So in fact, there's a good contingency of the fans who actually want him to start next week. I think most people would agree he needs to start. But 5.5, didn't do nothing significant, but you sense that he had a bit more desire and appetite and maybe wants to play out the next 4 months and try to keep us in his division.
Oh, listen, I hope so. He's going to be with Fulham, so, you know, I hope that he's willing to give it his all. And if he is, then Fulham have a good player for the rest of his time with the club. But, you know, again, I got a feeling he's not happy with the decision. I actually just tweeted out an article, guys, that our co-host Kyle Baum wrote about the Brian Ruiz situation on Pro Soccer Talk. I'd recommend reading it because, again, I believe that there are comments from him. But hopefully Brian Ruiz does want to play for Fulham and give it his best. And that's all we can ask for. All right.
Yeah.
Over to you, Joe, real quickly on the two substitutes.
Okay, well, I'll give Ruiz a 5.5. I feel sorry for him in a way because he had to sort of come on with 20 minutes to go. There's a good chance that he hadn't been training properly because he was waiting for the move, so he may not have been 100% fit. But we all, you know, we put all our hopes on his shoulders when he came on. He did okay, nothing spectacular. Like I said earlier, he tried one or two through balls that didn't work out. But he, you know, he didn't influence the second goal, and that's what counts. So 5.5. Corley, I'll be a bit more generous with Corley because I'll give him a 5 because he was again dominated by the central defence of Ipswich, and that's not his fault. Roddy Ager got no change out of them. Neither did Corley. He worked hard, but you know, he wasn't getting anything out of them. So it was because of the well-marshalled Ipswich defence that none of our forwards got a sniff all day. So 5 for him.
Okay. All right. Good stuff, guys. Good stuff, Joe, and good stuff, Emilio. All right. We only have about 4 minutes left. So I, you know, again, we can, you know, I don't think we have enough time to really rate the opponent at Ipswich Town and the ref, because I want to get your thoughts on Kit. You know, again, I'd rather spend the last couple of minutes on Kit. So, Emilio, give me a rating for the full manager.
Okay, I'm not going to go as far as giving him a 0 like Mr. Hulley did a couple of weeks ago against Sunderland, but I'm giving him a 4. Again, about my average rating's around 5, 5.5. And Kit, you know, again, let's be honest, from when I saw the lineup, I thought, okay, a bit more positive, a bit more balance in midfield. You know, maybe I think we miss Fofana, you know, whatever people say. We haven't mentioned him tonight, but he gives us that drive, that energy, and he's been improving week in, week out. And I can understand why he wanted to compromise him yesterday just to have a bit more balance and protect the midfield there. But that was a positive from Kit, being a little more balanced in midfield. But it's the same old issues. You know, there is that stubbornness that Yanis mentioned. You know, I would have changed at half-time, and certainly Mick McCarthy, I'm sure, would have changed at half-time if the score was reversed. So that stubbornness, not changing it soon enough, and not changing your tactics. When you're 2-0 down, you need to change something. Even when we're 2-1 down, you know, there was an opportunity to, okay, get at them further and make that third and final substitutions there and then.
Right.
But it's not like we scored the goal by dominating and suddenly scoring on. We were fortunate to score a goal. Therefore, in my view, there was a reason to change it there and then and create something different. He didn't do that. So I think 4 is a fair reflection. I'm not going to go as far down as 0. I think that's a bit harsh. 4, I think, is fair.
Okay, fair enough there. All right, Joe, you have the final word on full manager Kit Simons in this match.
I'll give him a 4 as well. Again, for all the points that Emilio's raised, I thought when I saw the starting lineup, I thought Tunnicliffe and Parker in midfield, that was very conservative. Two defensive midfielders there. I thought, okay, we're not going to get too many chances here. Let's see if we can sneak a win, on a break. That didn't work at all. Minus points for him there. The only positive I could think of, it would be bringing Ruiz on. At least he had the bottle to bring him on when, you know, the crowd were calling for a change. But minus points again for bringing on Pat Roberts again with 5 minutes to go. What's the point of that, you know? So 4.
Too late.
Yeah, exactly, too late.
It's too late. It's too late for Pat Roberts to have an impact. And
exactly.
Listen, I understand why you guys gave him a 4. I wouldn't have given him a 0. I kind of go with you guys on the 4, and I understand the reasoning behind it. All right, guys, listen, thank you so much for a really excellent show. Considering the weather I'm looking at, you guys cheered me up. So thank you very much. Thank you very much for doing the show with me today. Joe,
thanks.
You're welcome anytime, my friend.
Okay, thanks very much. Thanks for having me again, yeah?
Not a problem. Thank you, Joe. And Emilio, I'll be talking to you soon, my friend.
Okay, likewise. Thanks, Russ. Thanks, Joe. Speak to you soon.
Yeah, thanks,
okay,
Emilio.
Great.
See you
take
all.
Care.
Okay,
thanks.
Cheers,
okay,
guys. For Giannis, Emilio, and Joe, I'm Russ Goldman. Thank you again for listening to Cottage Talk Extra Time. Take care, guys. Come down, London.
cover.